Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19 for our text this morning. And here the scriptures tell us, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity that we can come and share your word with this, your people. We ask this morning, Lord, you might take it now and apply it to our hearts and our lives, that you might use us today as your chosen vessel, that we might today preach as we wish we to preach when we have to give a report to you. And for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. When I was a boy, I used to live with my father during the summer, I had a friend, and every year, along about this time of the year, sometime around the 4th of July, they would always take a vacation and go to see his wife's parents. They lived over in another state. And every year, when they leave, they'd get about 20 miles down the road, and they'd have to turn around and come back because she'd say, I don't know if I turned the iron off or not. So one year they didn't come back, and my daddy asked him down at the old country store, said, we noticed you didn't come back this year. He said, yeah, we got about 20 miles down the road. And she said, I don't know if I turned that iron off or not. He said, I know you did. She said, how you know? He said, I put it in the trunk. You know, somebody says what you don't know can hurt you. Another said ignorance is bliss, but you know, that's absolutely wrong today. Nothing really could be farther from the truth biblically today. We find today, if you were to call someone ignorant, that they might get mad, they might get offended, they might take it the wrong way. But really, to be ignorant today is simply to be uninformed today. It's to be without a knowledge today. And every one of us here this morning is ignorant in some area of life. We are ignorant of some things. That is, unless you're like a fellow I used to work with who was a know-it-all, but, you know, all of us today are ignorant of certain things. That's the reason we have to have help in some areas of our life. It might be in the field of mechanics. It might be in the field of cooking. It might be in the field of medicine or some other field today, but there's something that we don't know anything about. We're ignorant of. We have no knowledge of that this morning. Literally, the word can simply mean to ignore. You ignore that. You're not interested in that. And that's what Paul is talking about here in our text this morning when he talks here about the ignorance of the unsaved. He said in verse number 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. He's speaking here of those who are lost, those today who are not saved. And he says that they're unsaved because of the ignorance that is in them. Brother Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there are those who are willingly ignorant of the Word of God. You see, that's a people, and this is a people today who choose to be ignorant. We live in a world when people choose to be ignorant of God's truth. I received a magazine from the Southern Baptist Convention yesterday called Facts and Trends, and sometimes it has some very interesting things, and this particular issue was dealing with the Bible. And one of the things that was very interesting in it said that 18% of the people in Southern Baptist churches never read the Bible. 18% of people in Southern Baptist churches never read the Bible. They willingly choose not to read. Now that's just in Southern Baptist churches. You wonder today how many people across the world would be in that condition today. But in Southern Baptist churches, 18%. That's one in five, nearly. You know, sometimes I used to go, and you'd go to Walmart parking lot or some other place where a lot of cars were parked, and you'd see a Bible laid up in the back window with a church bulletin in it, and it would probably stay there until the next week. And they didn't pick up the Bible. They never read the Bible outside of the church walls today. And why do they do that? They choose not to do it this morning. We live in a country today where you can buy a Bible. And if you cannot afford a Bible, I'll assure you that somebody will buy you a Bible. You can get a Bible anytime that you want one today. Anytime that you need one, you can get a Bible. Somebody will get you a Bible. Don't be misled by that today. But I dare say if we stopped most people as they were coming up the street and asked them if they had a Bible in their home, all of them would probably say yes. We have a Bible. I might not know where it is, but we got a Bible. Some of them would probably say, yeah, we've got two or three Bibles. But we never read it. We live in a country today where people are willingly ignorant of the Word of God. And when you become willingly ignorant, when you today decide to ignore God's Word, and that's exactly what you're doing, when you become willingly ignorant, you're ignoring the revelation of God. You're ignoring today what God says about the world. You're ignoring what God says about us. You're ignoring today what God has to say to you and I. Willingly ignorant. Paul says here some things about those people who are willingly ignorant. He says that their understanding, they have a darkened understanding. That is, they do not understand. They do not comprehend. The knowledge is not there. Some of the smartest people in our world today, and we have some very people who are very intelligent. They are very, very learned and educated. Some of them today are brilliant and geniuses in some fields. You look at all the technology and you look at all the things that have improved just in our lifetime. And you see the things that are taking place, and we have brilliant people today who are intellectually today brilliant. They can find and do things that we might thought might would never be possible. Yet today these same people have no knowledge. They are ignorant of the Word of God. Their understanding has been darkened because they choose to ignore what God says in His Word. You can look all the way down the spectrum of persons today in the world. You can look in the academic area. You can look in the political area. You can look today every other area of life, and you'll find brilliant people who are ignorant of God's Word, have no understanding of the Word of God. They have no knowledge of God's Word today. They don't even comprehend it today. Because you see, the Bible is the light of life. The psalmist said today that it's a light under our path and a lamp under our feet. You see, the Bible is the light that should guide us today. And when our light today is not there, when the light is burned out, when the light has been turned off, we can't see and we can't comprehend. Sometimes at nighttime, and you, even in a familiar place, you get into a darkened room and it's very difficult to know where to step, very difficult to know where to walk, very difficult to know what's taking place. But you turn the light on and you begin to have knowledge of what's going on. And you see, that's what's happening in our world today. The light has been turned off. They've turned the light bulb off today. And the Bible today is the light of life, and the Bible is the light of knowledge. It's what teaches us knowledge today and gives us wisdom today about everything in life. You see, we can learn everything, but if we miss the teachings of God's Word today, we've missed it all. You see, they don't understand. They have no understanding about sin today. They don't understand what God thinks about sin today. You read about all the ills of our society and you see all the things that's taking place in our world. We see crime, we see child abuse, we see molestation, we see all kind of other atrocious things taking place. And we decide, well, it's just a social problem. It's a problem that could be done and we need to solve as a society. And so we need to educate them and we need to send them into therapy. We need to rehabilitate them. It's a social problem. And we try all that we can do to do all of the things for them. And they continually get worse. You know, you read about a maniac of the Gadarenes, and the Bible says that the people had done all they could. They finally got to the point they had to carry him out to the graveyard away from everybody else and leave him because he was a raving lunatic. You look around our world today and we've got a lot of raving lunatics that need to be carried out away from everybody else, I would suppose. Because society's done for them all they can do. They've carried them into educational programs. They've taught them therapy. They've rehabilitated them. And they go right back out and they do the same thing over and over and over again. Because you see, today sin is not a social problem. Child molestation is not a social problem. Abuse is not a social problem. All of these other atrocious acts that we're seeing today are not a social problem. When we read about senseless killings, we read about people who walk into offices and shoot down other people with weapons today, and we begin to want to pass gun control laws. But see, the real problem today is we'll never pass a law today that can take care of the problem, because the problem is not a social problem. Some folks say, well, it's a genetic problem. They were just born that way. They were born with a defect. They have a genetic problem. It was because of the family that they were born into. I dare to differ with you today. It's not a genetic problem. It's not simply because you were born into this family or that family. Somebody says, well, it's an environment problem. It's because of the environment in which they were raised. It's not an environment problem, folks. I can tell you about being raised in different kinds of environments. We could go on and on forever. But through my years of experience, through my years of pastoring, through my years of knowing people today, and through my years of noticing what takes place, I can assure you, even from a worldly view today, it's not an environmental problem. And I can certainly assure you from the Word of God, it's not an environment problem, it's not a genetic problem, and it's not a social problem. You see, it's a sin problem. And sin today is personal. We want to be able to call it all of these other things because we don't want to be accountable for what we do. We don't want to be accountable for the actions of ourselves today. We need to understand today that sin is a very personal thing. And we're all accountable to the Lord for our sin. What we've done. We can't blame it on somebody else. We can't say, well, it was because my daddy. We can't say it was, well, when I was a little boy, I wanted to push my oatmeal off of the table and my daddy whipped me for it, and so now I push somebody off the bridge because to make up for it. We can't blame somebody else for our sin. That will never, never, never work. We can't blame today because we were raised in a poor home, or because today our dad was an alcoholic or our mother was a prostitute. We can't use that as an excuse for our sin. There is no excuse before God for the sins of mankind today. We're all personally accountable for what we do before God. We cannot blame somebody else or something that's taken place in our life. Sin is personal. We must understand that. If we ever come to that grip that sin is a very personal thing, we can change the name, but it's still sin. We can call it all kind of highbrow names, and we can sit down and think up all kind of ways to describe it, but when it's all boiled down to it, the Bible still says that it's very simply sin. And you see, people today choose to ignore and choose to be ignorant of what God says about that this morning. In the book of Romans, chapter number 1, as Paul exposes the ancient society of his time, and as he talks about the world of his day and the world preceding his day and the heathens of that time, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they knew God, they knew about God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their light went out. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, this morning they here chose their life. They chose the way that they would go. They made a decision. They were willingly ignorant, and their foolish heart became darkened. Their light is now out. They have no light to guide them through the maze. So don't be surprised every time that you read about some things taking place in our world and you say, how in the world can anybody believe that kind of mess? It's because their light has been put out. Their understanding has been darkened. They today have become willingly ignorant of the Word of God. They're ignorant about sin. Their understanding is darkened about sin. Their understanding is darkened today about a sovereign God. You see, they want to humanize God. People want to make God into who they want him to be. You see, that's what people want today. They want to make their own little God. You read over in the book of Judges about Micah's man-made God, how that he made his own God and set up his own religion and his own house of worship. You're seeing that all across our world today. You're seeing that all across the United States this morning. People today are making God into what they want him to be. They want to humanize God, and we'll change God, and we'll make God like we want him to be. You see, they want to make him their servant. They want to make him the one that serves them today. Instead of honoring him and glorifying him as the God and the sovereign God of glory, they want to bring him down. They want to do away with his authority. I don't care what the Bible says. We're not going to go by the Bible anymore. We're not going to go by the Scriptures anymore. We're going to go our own way and do our own thing. And all that was written by ancient men many years ago. It's not the inspired Word of God. And it changes with society. It changes with the times. And we have to be more lenient and more tolerant. And we cannot be so narrow-minded anymore. We've got to understand today, ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to talk about all of that stuff, and we do that, they don't really understand the sovereign God of glory. Bring him down and do away with his authority. Do away with his deity and his glory. In Psalm chapter number 2, you find there that the psalmist says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of his authority. Let's get rid of his deity. We don't want to be tied down to that ancient book. We don't want to be tied down to those ancient standards. We don't want to have the morals of our grandparents. We don't want to have the honesty and of our people before us. We today don't want God telling us what to do. We'll worship God in our own way and we'll do what we want to do. Let's cast away. Let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They're just holding us back. They're just binding us down. Let's get rid of it. It rolls over then to Psalms chapter 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. See, it just goes over to there. There is no God. There is no God. There is no God. You see, they don't understand the sovereign God of glory today. They have the darkened understanding, and they think that he's just the man upstairs, that he's the fatherly grandfather that's going to laugh and joke and everything's going to be okay one day. That he's the Santa Claus that passes out all the blessings that you want. He brings healing when you need it. That everything you need, you can get from him and he'll serve you. They don't understand the sovereign God of glory. They don't understand salvation. They don't understand Jesus on Calvary. It's not just a song. Not just a song, folks. You know, I know a lot of people that listen to gospel music. Nothing against gospel music. Please don't misunderstand that. But I know a lot of people listen to gospel music that are ignorant of God's word. They have no understanding of the real meaning of Calvary. They've not been to Calvary, so they have no real understanding of Calvary. Told you before, and I'm going to say it again today. We need to be like R.G. Lee, the one-time great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And the first time he went to the Holy Land, and they went out to Calvary, out to Golgotha. And the guide says, "Anybody have been here before?" And Dr. Lee raised his hand. The guide said, "When were you here?" He said, "About 2,000 years ago." You see, when you go to Calvary with Jesus, it means a lot more than just a song today. That's all it is to a lot of people. It's just something that they read about. It's just a story. You see, they don't really see that God was judging sin on the cross of Calvary and reconciling the world unto himself. That he was doing away with the enmity between him and mankind today. That he was allowing grace this morning to extend the call to all. You see, salvation today is to become a new creature in Christ. Salvation today is to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Salvation today is to be declared righteous and to be saved by the grace of God. You see, salvation is something that God does for us and in us. Amen. It required our submission. We can never be saved until we're willing to submit to God. Right. Surrender unto him. You see, we come to God saying, "Lord, we're a sinner. I'm worthless. What can I do?" I think the songwriter might have said it best when he said, "Could my zeal no longer know?" "These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." It's the only way you ever be saved. You submit to God. You come in repentance and faith. You trust wholly upon the Lord today. And you come unto Him. That's what salvation's all about. And then God does the work. He makes you a new creature. He changes your life. Not going to change everybody you come in contact with, but He's going to change your life. I read not recently about a lady that was living with an alcoholic husband, and she had some children, and she began to attend church, and she got saved, and the pastor talked her into her study, and after they baptized her, and he said, "Now I want to tell you something." He said, "When you go home, your husband's still going to be an alcoholic. And you're going to have to learn to live in that world if you're going to stay with him. But you're to be you can be a testimony and a witness for him. If God has changed you, then he'll see that change." You see, this morning, we don't understand, and I can't totally tell you what God does, but he does something, doesn't he? He regenerates us. He makes us a new creature. We're not the same anymore. But people don't understand salvation. They think, "Well, one of these days I'll get to the pearly gates and God will just let me in. Oh, he'll see that I've been a good neighbor, and he see that, you know, I was a good father and a good husband, and I was all of these things, so he'll let me in." Let me explain that to you. The only way you ever get past the pearly gates today is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't understand that. "Well, I believe in Allah, so he'll certainly let me in." No. "I practiced Buddhism. I was this and I was that." They don't understand salvation today. They don't understand the sentence. Ignorance is no excuse. I had a friend who was witnessing to a man and talking to him about the Lord and talking to him about Jesus. And he said, "Don't you want to be saved? God sent his son to die for you." And the man said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What?" He said, "Well, what about them people over in those heathen lands that never heard the gospel?" He said, "Well," he said, "I think God is just and God has a plan for that." He said, "But I'm not talking about that now." But he said, "You ain't got any excuse. Now what are you going to do?" Ignorance is no excuse. Because when you become willingly ignorant of the Word of God, there is no excuse. Ignorance is not bliss. It'll send you to hell. I was listening the other day to a man and preaching, and he told the story, and I want to tell it to you today. It kind of touched my heart. He said, this little 3-year-old girl came into the room. Her and her mother were getting ready to go to church. And she said, "Daddy, won't you come to church with us today?" And he said, "No, honey, I've got too many other things to do. I can't come today." And this goes on, and she gets to be 4. And she says, "Daddy, please come to church with us today." And he said, "Oh, honey, I've got too much to do. I just can't come." She gets to be 5 and 6, and she's still begging her daddy to come to church. 10, 11. She gets up in her teenage years, and finally she quits going to church and begins to give her parents some trouble. And one day he received a call from the principal of the school, and the principal said, "You need to come." He thought, "Well, what kind of trouble has she got into?" And when he got there, the principal met him, and he said, "The paramedics have done all they could. We don't know what she took, but she's gone." And he said, "What?" And he told him, said, "She's sitting in the parking lot in her car, and we found her." He said, "I want to see." And he said, "I want to see." So they took the man out, and the man said he got in the car and said he sat down in the seat next to her. And he said the first thought that came into his mind as he looked over at her was, "I bet you wish you went to church with me now." Willingly ignorant of what God says today. That's a sad state to be in. without the knowledge and have a darkened understanding. There's a lot more Paul said about that, but we're out of time this morning. But this morning, let's not be willingly ignorant. God's word today will guide you and give you light. Let's not be willingly ignorant of what God says in his book this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, if you'd come. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this time we've been together. We ask you now that you might bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen.